Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Do we have Phil Kirpin? Is he there? I don't see him on the call screen. I don't know. Is our guest there, Jim? Just say yes or no if our guest is there. Not yet. Okay. All right. I want to play a clip for you. This is Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. So we've been hearing over and over again how Kamala Harris has changed her position on fracking. And I was just talking to Guy Benson about this because we have not heard Kamala Harris say that. We have heard Kamala Harris say multiple times that she supports banning fracking on day one. And I didn't really know what he was talking about with the Jimmy Fallon thing where she slow rolled that thing. I know that's a bit he does. I just don't really watch that show, but we'll try to find that audio. But Governor Josh Shapiro was asked about her changing policy positions on this. The problem, though, is that we have not heard her officially say that she has changed her position on this. So here's Governor Josh Shapiro, whose state would be devastated if there was a fracking ban. We are talking about a massive industry for Pennsylvania. And here's what Governor Shapiro said regarding this, Cut 36.
Let me ask a couple of questions on that score, important to Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And how Pennsylvania responds to a Democratic ticket. Vice President Harris has had to explain and her record on fracking, where she was previously opposed to it, and now made clear that she has an open mind. You yourself, although you're a supporter of the Biden administration, had been publicly critical of them for trying to, as I understand it, to control or limit exports on LNG.
Yeah, I just thought they should move quicker in their process. Yeah,
you thought they were, it was going too slow.
Well, they put a pause. I said the pause should be quick. We got to get people to work. Yeah.
How will these energy issues play out in the fight for Pennsylvania?
Energy is a huge issue in Pennsylvania. I'm an all-of-the-above energy governor. We are a net energy exporter. Energy puts people to work in Pennsylvania. Energy puts food on the table and creates family-sustaining jobs. Energy is a big reason why we've got so many members of the building trades in Pennsylvania doing incredibly important work. And I must tell you that the fact that the vice president, now our nominee, heard that from people in Pennsylvania and made clear that, you know, she's evolved on that position, I think is really a sign of strength, she's listened to the importance of energy in Pennsylvania and that she's going to continue to help us be a net energy exporter and put people to work.
Okay, well, we have not heard her say any of those things, though, Governor. That's the problem. I want to welcome to the show Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment. Phil, have you heard Kamala Harris say any of the things that Josh Shapiro just said she said?
No, you know, it's interesting. I've heard her take every crazy left-wing position you can imagine when she was running in 2020, and I've seen statements in the press attributed to unnamed campaign officials that say she's now disavowed every single thing she ever said in 2020, but I've never seen from her mouth any actual policy reversals on any of it, including the fracking ban. So maybe I missed something, but I don't think it's come out of her mouth. And I don't even think they've given us the names of the campaign officials who are telling the press that she's reversed on basically everything she ever said.
Yeah, no, they just literally put out a statement. It wasn't even attributed to anybody, I don't believe.
Yeah, that's what they've been doing. They did it on the banning private health insurance. They did it on the fracking ban. They did it on, yeah, I mean, you name it. I mean, you know, she's got a laundry list of insane left-wing policies, and supposedly we're to believe she no longer supports any of them.
You have the unfortunate problem of having to be in the swamp. What do people think about Kamala Harris in Washington, D.C., because I have a suspicion that they think of her a lot like the character on the show Veep. But now we have to believe like she wasn't even in the White House. She may have gone on a tour or something, but she had nothing to do with this administration. She had absolutely no say. But I don't know, because it doesn't sound like you want to really pretend like you were Veep and ostracized to the OEOB and not allowed to have any input on policy either. So what do people really think about her role in this administration?
Well, you know, I think she's generally seen as a lightweight and that it's mostly staff people that are making the calls. But one of the weird things about the situation that we're in right now is, I mean, we've got a mentally incapacitated president, basically, and We don't know. We don't know who's making the decisions. We don't know if Kamala Harris is effectively the president these days or if it's just some unnamed staffer. We don't know who the commander-in-chief. I mean, there were some reports last week. I don't know if you said there were some reports last week that Antony Blinken was ordering troop movements. He's not even in the chain of command. He's the State Department. So wow. Who really knows what's going on? It's such a mess. It's so wrong. But here's the thing. Here's how I look at it. Either she's the one making the decisions and she's really effectively the president already, or she's okay with whatever unnamed person is really making the decisions because she hasn't invoked the 25th Amendment, which constitutionally is her responsibility to do. So she's responsible for the state of affairs that we're in either way. And I would also add to that, you know, for the economic problems that we've had, she's the cause of them, whether she's functioning in the executive branch or not, because she was the tie-breaking vote for all of the big spending bills in her legislative role as the presiding officer of the Senate as vice president. We got her vote for the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act and all the rest of the bills that have caused all the economic problems that we've had. So she owns all of the negatives of the Biden administration, regardless of whether she's actively making decisions or not at this point, which it's pretty disturbing that we don't know who's making the decisions, who's actually doing the job of the president. The only thing we're kind of sure of is that it's not Joe Biden.
Phil Kirpin's with me, president of American Commitment. Follow him on X at Kirpin. So that's a great point you make about the tie-breaking votes. And I know you're a numbers guy and you love policy. All the trillions of dollars that this administration has spent, which has driven up interest rates and contributed to the massive deficits and debt that we're dealing with as a country. And her solution to all this is to impose price controls on food, which is so incredibly stupid and also communist that it's hard to believe that's actually a policy that she would roll out. I haven't heard her talk about it much. We haven't heard her talk about anything actually much, I should say that. But you think they're still going to go with this? Like, is she going to talk about that tonight? Is she going to talk about price controls tonight in her big speech?
You know, it's a good question because what they've basically done is they've got the Democrat economic kind of brain trust going out and telling people that, well, she doesn't really mean it. She wouldn't really do something that dumb. It's too dumb. It wouldn't actually happen. I mean, this is really what they've got, you know, people like Jason Furman out saying. And, you know, I kind of think they're going to back away from it because even the liberal press came down really hard on them, especially the Washington Post just, like, attacked them.
Yeah.
And so I think that they're going to go back to sort of more of a content-free campaign. At least that's what I would do. So I don't think we're going to hear a lot about the price gouging thing. But I'll tell you, you know, the inflation issue is a huge problem for Kamala for the reason that I just said. She was the tie-breaking vote for those bills. And there's actually a new study that just came out a couple of days ago from Casey Mulligan, University of Chicago. You can get on unleashprosperity.com. But he looked at the inflation impact of the Kamala Harris votes, and just those two, the two biggest spending bills. He looked at those, and just the two biggest spending bills, the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act, those are directly responsible for more than half of the excess inflation that we had in the Biden era. And she wanted to spend a lot more during COVID. She actually introduced a bill, a pandemic universal basic income bill, it was like $2,000 per month per person, you know, for 3 years or something like that. And he estimated the inflation impact of that would have made inflation like 2.5 times worse than it was. So instead of 20% inflation, we would have had 50% inflation if the bill that she wrote had passed. So this is somebody who not only was responsible for the inflation that we had, but who, if she had had her wishes, inflation would have been much worse.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, because she is so left on these things, so far to the left on every issue.
So the campaign spokesman say she no longer supports the bill she introduced in 2020 or whatever. But I mean, look, you got to judge someone by their actual record, not by what you're being told about them now.
Look, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she flip-flops on her own price-gauging control speech that she gave. Price-gauging, I love that. I wouldn't be surprised if she flip-flops on that, because why not? If you're already flip-flopping on everything else, if you're changing policy positions, why not change the one you rolled out a week ago? Why not just add it to the list? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, why not? Maybe she will.
And then,
I don't know.
And then on the energy stuff, I mean, fracking, we talked about that, but I mean, between her and Tim Walz, I mean, we're talking about two very extreme people who are green warriors here, are we not? I mean, two people combined between his policies as governor of Minnesota and her ideas as a U.S. senator and vice president of the United States, we're talking about, between the two of them, draconian ideas on dealing with fossil fuels.
Yeah, I mean, they're captive to the very far left of their party, so, I mean, there's no question in my mind on that. Look, Tim Walz is, you know, he makes her look reasonable. I mean, this guy is completely nuts. And I don't think he's ever said a truthful word in his life, as far as I can tell. I mean, I've never seen someone who lies about every single thing. I saw somebody say this is the guy, this guy would lie about what he had for lunch. I think it's probably true. I mean, I just, everything about his biography doesn't check out. I've never seen anything quite like it. So, you know, I think that it's very hard for them to get away from their record. And that's why you're seeing essentially a content-free campaign. We don't believe in anything. We don't have any policies. Donald Trump is bad. And most remarkably, we're going to solve all the economic problems, and we're just going to pretend that, you know, somehow the Republicans caused them, even though we're the party in power. I don't know if they can get away with it, but that's essentially what they're trying to do.
It is a Hollywood-produced show, no question about it. I mean, the whole campaign is. And the point we have to remember is that early voting begins in about a month. So they're just trying to run out the clock here. I guess the question I'll ask you, Phil Kirpin, and I asked Guy Benson this earlier, how does Trump handle this when he debates her on September 10th?
Well, I think that they need to give him specific quotes of things that she said on all of these issues, and he should carry them in on cards. I know he doesn't like to use notes, but when she says something or makes a claim, he should say, you know, on whatever date this is what you said, on whatever date this is the vote that you cast. We can't trust someone who denies everything she's ever believed in. We can only go by the record, and we can only assume that what you've done in the past is what you'll do in the future. And we can't have four more years as bad as the four that we've just had. And I think if he does that, if he focuses on her record and brings facts to bear that are indisputable, quotes from her, things she's done, he'll win pretty handily. Because I don't think she is capable of defending her record, which is why she's trying to pretend it doesn't exist.
Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment. Follow him on X at Kirpin and AmericanCommitment.org. I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you for making the time today from the Democrat National Convention. And I know D.C. is the swamp, but you don't want to be here for this, trust me. So consider yourself lucky.
I do, and thank you for reporting from the belly of the beast out there.
All right, buddy.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. On the Rich Zeoli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center, grandhotelcapemay.com.
Yes, we are our happy hour. I want to remind you, we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up on September 6th, Friday, September 6th, for our next live show. And this is the perfect time for you to book your fall getaway at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You know, I didn't know what Guy Benson, I had not heard Kamala Harris slow roll the news and talking about banning fracking. So I'm glad that Guy brought it to my attention. We found the audio of that. We pulled it up for you. This is Kamala Harris on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. I want to make a point here. Jimmy Fallon is much better. But I did hear a story, though, which I did like, which is that when Jimmy Fallon got his Saturday Night Show on Fox News, Jimmy Fallon sent him ice cream. Because I guess Ben and Jerry's made a flavor about him called, I don't even know the flavor. And I hate Ben and Jerry's for a lot of different reasons, but mostly for their standing with Mumia, the cop killer. But nevertheless, he sent a case of ice cream to Jimmy Fallon and congratulated him on getting his show. And he said to him, first it starts with a Saturday night show and then a weeknight show. And I thought that was a classy move. So, and a cool story. Jimmy's wife told me that story backstage when we were in the green room. So, but that was kind of neat. Anyway, this is Kamala Harris slow-rolling the news. I guess they do kind of like a poetry thing. I don't watch the show. I don't know. Do you watch it? You don't watch the show, DeSantis, do you? So,
oh, of course not. No, I'm not wasting my time with that. By the way, the ice cream flavor you were looking for, the Tonight Dough.
Oh, the Tonight Dough. It's like a cookie dough kind of ice cream, I guess, right? I'm old school. I just eat raw cookie dough. I throw caution in the wind. I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid. I'm a man. I can handle it.
I wouldn't recommend that.
I'm not a soy boy. I'll do it. You probably eat lactose-free soy ice cream, don't you, DeSantis? You do.
No, I'm not. I like a good ice cream.
Please.
Yeah, I'm just not eating raw cookie dough. That's where I draw the line. That's disgusting. You're going to get all sorts of diseases.
Good. How do you know I already have them?
You probably do if you're eating the raw cookie dough.
I'm not afraid. All right, so take a listen to her, and then again, she's going to have to answer for this at some point, I think. Go ahead.
But what's the first thing we need to do to give us all some relief?
Well, let me start by saying this. Climate change is the single greatest threat facing our world today. That's why I am committed to passing a Green New Deal, creating clean jobs, and finally putting an end to fracking once and for all.
Mamala Kamala just don't give a frack.
It's a MILF, a mother I'd like to fix. The planet is a MILF now. All right. When it comes to climate, she's a real front runner. She's heating up like it's still hot girl summer. I like the way you're working, Kay Higgity. But I gotta ask, lately this country's been so divided, sleeping on opposite sides of the bed. Why do you think we can't all just come together?
Well, it's my opinion that we need a president who fights for the best of who we are. And over the past 3 years, Donald Trump has done the exact opposite.
Hold up. So what you're trying to say is that Trump's the bad guy?
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. You can stop it. Thank you. All right. So we need to keep that audio of her talking about fracking and then Mamala Frackula, whatever the hell he called her. We need to keep that handy. We're going to need that along with her originally saying yes on day one. Yes on day one, I would ban fracking. So we got to hang on to that as well.
Do we really have to hear that again?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to have to hear it a lot because we need to get answers to how then you go from making jokes about it on Jimmy Fallon's show to then suddenly just completely reversing policy on that. I also want to mention something else, too, about Kamala Harris, too, which is that she's flip-flopped on pretty much every policy under the sun. You understand this, but when you got a guy like Shapiro out there acting like this is some great policy shift on her part, and she was out there absolutely saying that fracking is something she's going to the extent that she would make this a point on live national television on multiple times, multiple cases, you know this is somebody who is sincere in her beliefs. So either she was lying then or she's lying now. Shapiro's trying to spin it like, oh, we've educated her. Educated her on what? If you hate fracking, you hate fracking. What is there to educate you on? It's like saying, you know, if you hate fossil fuels, you hate fossil fuels. What is there to educate you on? I think the governor of Pennsylvania is gaslighting us too on this whole thing because either you hate oil and natural gas or you don't because you're a sane, logical person. But if you hate these things, how do you do a 180 on that? What's changed? Now I suddenly don't think they're heating the planet? I don't think they're contributing to climate change. Is that what Kamala Harris is now? Does she now believe that? I mean, is Kamala Harris going to come out and give a policy speech and say, I no longer believe these things are contributing to climate change? I no longer believe in climate change. Is she now going to come out and say that she doesn't believe that climate change is man-made? Like, how do you change? How do you evolve your position on oil and natural gas? How do you evolve your position on fracking without doing a 180 on the fact that you've been saying that they contribute to climate change? So that's what I don't understand. So is she going to come out now and turn around and say that they no longer contribute to climate change, Matt? Is that, you think that'll be it? She'll just take that policy position?
Anything is possible. I wouldn't rule anything out.
Maybe she'll come out tonight and say she doesn't believe climate change is real. I mean, what the hell? Whatever she has to say, I guess? I don't know.
Would help with moderate voters.
Because how can you possibly now you got educated and now you no longer want to ban fracking. What did Josh Shapiro tell her? What secret document did he show her that she didn't have access to all these years when she wanted to ban it? You know what I'm saying?
Well, Don Jr. said on the show yesterday, sure you remember, that in 2020 they all raised their hand on the Democrat primary stage saying that they would ban fracking. Then once the general election rolled around, Biden walked that position back, and then day one, no Keystone Pipeline.
Right.
So
they're going to say whatever they have to say. And then, so if I'm Shapiro, I'm worried about that. I'm just saying, if you're the governor of PA, you should be worried about that big guy. I don't believe a word she says. Hey, Kirk, how long is the Trump Q&A from Arizona? Just out of curiosity, how long is that segment? Do you know?
It's pretty long. I can answer for him. It's a little bit long.
A little bit long.
We can play a little bit of it, though, I think, right?
Yeah, we'll do that at 5:35, I think. I want to play a couple other clips here from that I have for you. And that's this here. This, let's see. This is, got everything all over here.
The double-sided pages are not your friend.
No, they're not my friend at all. I don't like that. Donald Trump respond. Okay, no, this is it. This is the one. Senator Amy Klobuchar with the most cringeworthy moment of the night. I think we all agree on this point. This is the most cringeworthy part of the night. The only way it could have been worse is if they had Klobuchar's aide come out and shave her legs on national television. She's allegedly that's what happened, right? The aide had to shave her legs.
I mercifully don't remember that one.
I'm pretty sure that's the allegation.
I remember hearing an aide forgot to get her a fork for her salad.
Mm-hmm.
And Klobuchar, berated the assistant and then ate the salad with a comb. Now, the leg shaving thing, I don't know where that came from, but
you got to Google that.
I don't want to.
I don't want to. I refuse. This is cringeworthy. This is Senator Amy Klobuchar last night. Cut 35.
So psyched to see all of you. I decided instead of the MAGA movement, we're going to start the MAMA movement. That is Make America Michigan and Minnesota Again. So,
now
I do bring you greetings from my state, where the women are strong, the men are good looking, and all the vice presidents are above average.
Oh, okay. All right. So thank you. You can stop it. That comes from the show Veep. It was a joke about shaving a lawmaker's legs, and it was inspired by a rumor about Amy Klobuchar. We're going to start the MAMA movement. Make America, Michigan, and Minnesota again. Ha, ha, ha. And then America's doofus. I said yesterday, B-modus of the United States, beta male of the United States of America. That, just so you know, that is who, that's Doug Emhoff, the biggest beta male out there. Well, Tim Walz is, DOTUS, Doofus of the United States. That's, if he becomes vice president, normally you'd call it V-POTUS. We're going to call it DOTUS, Doofus of the United States. The whole thing with this guy, and he's a creep. I'm sorry, but he's a creep. I get a creepy vibe from him. Okay, thank you. He's a creepy guy, and I get a creepy vibe from him. But the thing about Walz is he's full of it. But the CNN Dana Bash, cue up cut 32 for me. And this is very, very, not 32. Where's the, okay, 25. Cue up cut 25 for me. So Tim Walz went on this whole rant about alpha males, okay? About alpha males, and Doug Emhoff did too. And I consider myself to be an alpha male. An alpha male is a strong man. What are you laughing at? Are you seriously laughing at that right now?
Sorry, no, of course not.
You better not be.
With something else,
I would hope so.
Yeah, I thought of something funny. I heard a joke earlier.
All right, that's enough. I'm gonna mute your microphone. Right, you just sit over there and you work on whatever it is you're doing over there. I am an alpha male. I'm a man. I'm a confident, strong man. That's why I'm a nationally recognized talk show host in a top 10 market with a huge following. DeSantis, you keep it up. You're going to be back on the morning show.
Oh, no, please don't send me back
there. I'm just saying,
you
better be careful right now.
It's
be too very
early.
Careful.
They have enough producers. They won't send me back there.
Believe me, they need one more voice on that show. here's cut 25. Dana Bash, I don't know, arguing that Democrats are trying to speak to men who may not be this type of a man. Cut 25.
But they are doing so in trying to put forward male figures, Tim Walz being one of them, Doug Emhoff last night, who can speak to men out there who might not be the sort of testosterone-laden, you know, gun-toting kind of guy who wants to listen to Hulk Hogan and the kind of players that came out of the RNC, or might want to listen to that, but also, in addition, understand that it's okay in 2024 to be a man comfortable in his own skin who supports a woman. And that's something that they really are trying to work on with male voters beyond the base.
Let me translate that for you, all right? We're giving up on the guys who fish and hunt and the guys in Cabela hats. We're giving up on the guys who actually are men. We're not trying to win them over anymore. We're now trying to seek out the beta males who will go out there and vote for this ticket because their wife or their girlfriend tell them to, or because they think it's going to impress a date. And we're not even trying, because for years Democrats have said toxic masculinity. That's been a big thing with them, how men are toxic, and they've spread lies about rape culture and everything else. So when I tell you that they are looking for, because you got two big beta males here, Doug Emhoff and Tim Walz, two big beta dudes, goofy, and so that's what they're going for here. But it's a problem for them, and I'll tell you why. James Carville said this. He said this. He said, I'm a man, and I'm 48% of the electorate. How about somebody talk about me for a change? Well, not all guys, by the way, are white. Some men are black. I know this is shocking to the Democrat Party. You got a lot of black guys out there who do not want to hear that what you should be right now is a man who's not a tough guy, all right? And you go to the barbershops in Chicago, you go to the barbershops in Atlanta, which the Trump campaign has done, you talk to these people, you talk to these guys. These are men, all right? These are guys. And this is not a party. This Democrat Party is not catering to them. They're catering to the guy who walks in the house and goes, hey, my pronouns are he, him, all right? That's the part. That's the kind of guy this party is catering to. So you understand. All right, listen, we are coming to you live from the Democrat National Convention. Big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. And I got to tell you, if you put on some summer weight, don't worry, you can still lose it thanks to the great work of NJ Diet. NJDiet.com, that's where you want to go. You can lose the weight for good, 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days' time with NJ Diet. And it's guaranteed to work. Guaranteed weight loss of 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. 40 days. Just say it with me. NJ Diet's all natural. They use your hair, your saliva, and blood work along with bioenergetic scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements that get your body into the fat-burning zone so you can finally lose that weight. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. And best of all, it's contractually guaranteed you are fully supervised the entire time to make sure you are burning fat and not just losing water. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to them today. Plus, you don't want to take the shots. There's all kinds of side effects. And the new thing now is there's problems with skin from people who get the shots. 855-5-NJ-DIET. Locations close by in Newark, Delaware, King of Prussia, and Cherry Hill. Or online at njdiet.com. NJDiet.com and lose the weight for good.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, you know what? I may not agree with a lot of positions, but you're great on privacy, by the way. Senator Wyden, thank you for your stance on. You probably wouldn't agree with me on much. But you are great on privacy. Keep up the good fight. Yeah, in Philadelphia. Philadelphia. I would love that. That would be great. Would love that. Yeah, this is my producer, Matt DeSantis. Senator Ron Wyden, I'm a big fan of your work on fighting for Americans' privacy rights. Oh, well, good. All right. Well, I would love that. That'd be great. Nice to meet you in person. Thank you. Yeah. What's that?
Second one on
privacy and surveillance. Excellent. Good. Good. Well, he's a true warrior on that, and I love when he partners with Rand Paul on stuff. I think it's great. So, good. Very nice to meet you. So, I'm live on the air right now in Philadelphia, but very nice to meet you. Rich Zioli, thank you. I appreciate you guys fighting the good fight for the First Amendment, so thank you very much. And we got to protect ourselves from our deep state, the intelligence community, so thank you. See, I'm a nice guy. I reach across the aisle. No, really, Wyden and Rand Paul are terrific together. I'm fighting this stuff. I think it's great. And we got it. We need people on both sides of the aisle to stand up against, you know, the spying on Americans, the NSA metadata gathering, the CIA and all their crap and the censorship and everything else. So, yeah, we'll get them on the show. That'd be terrific. All right. Future President Trump spoke today at the border in Arizona, and he took some questions, and we queued it up for you since we had a guest come on. But I wanted to play for you the back and forth with the press as he was down in Arizona, in Cochise County, Arizona. Take a listen.
You said that local law enforcement will be able to help find the bad undocumented migrants.
Yeah.
How will your administration go about mass deportation?
We'll work with locals, and they're going to bring them to us, and we'll get them over the border, and we'll make arrangements with the countries, and the countries will accept them back. And if they don't accept them back, we do no trade with those countries, and we charge them big tariffs. I haven't, but I'm hearing reports. I have a lot of respect for RFK Jr. You know that. I've known him a long time. Very smart. A little bit different, and that's okay, but he's a very smart guy. He's loved by a lot of people, and I'm hearing that he wants to leave. Don't forget, he was treated very unfairly. I think he would have beaten Biden in a primary, the Kennedy name and him in particular. I think he would have beaten Biden in a primary, and they made it impossible. They said you have to get 70% of the vote just to qualify or something. They created standards that nobody could have met. Biden couldn't have met him. And I think he would have lost, Biden, and they really treated him very badly. Then he went out as an independent, and it's a tough thing to do, independent. You know, it wasn't set up that way. The country is really a two-party system, whether people like it or not, Republican, Democrat. And I have spoken to him in the past, over the last number of months, but not recently. But there are rumors that he's going to make an endorsement. That would be a great honor for me. Great honor.
Mr. President.
Are you gathering tomorrow at your rally outside of Phoenix?
I don't know. I can't say that. But I know we're in the same state, so we're not very far away. But I can't tell you that yet. No plans have been made at this moment. Brian?
Yes, sir. As a parent, I'm hearing these stories. You're a parent yourself. What was going through your mind when you're hearing all these just horrible stories about losing the children?
What was going through my mind is that, and I almost hate to say it in front of them, I don't know how they take it. I don't know how they can take it. You understand that? I think probably most of the people still. No. How do you take it? How do you do it? It's like devastating when you see what happened. And these are incredible people. These people are incredible people. I got to know them. They're unbelievable. And they loved, like, as much as you can love someone. I spent time with all of them. And what goes through my mind is I don't know how the hell they take it.
Yes. When you talked about Inverse Texas earlier, visiting them, it was a big deal for those small border communities. It's a big deal when you come here. Obviously, the border means a lot to you.
A lot. Always has.
So why not support that bipartisan border security bill? And how do you get people on board with all the things that you talked about, the policies that you just laid out? How do you get people
sure.
to come to the table?
You ready?
Yeah.
The bipartisan, and it wasn't bipartisan, they had a couple of people on the other side. It was weak, it was ineffective, and it would have allowed, as you know, millions and millions of people to pour through, and largely unvetted. It was a horrible bill, it was a weak bill, and they don't need a bill. All Biden had to do is look to the border and say, close the border. He didn't need a bill. He knows that. They didn't want a bill. The bill was terrible. If it was good, I would have approved it. The House passed a bill before that. I'd approve that bill right now. That was a real bill. But this bill was a weak bill, and it was a shame that they got a Republican. They got somebody who's a very good person, by the way, but they got him to lead it. But it didn't make any difference. If they wanted to close the border, which they don't, They'll have 100 million people come in and totally destroy, ruin our country. If they wanted to close the border, you know, I didn't have a bill. I said, close the border. I said, Brandon, close that border, Brandon. And what happened? He closed the border. They all did. Paul, the whole group of them. This group is incredible. They closed the border. I looked at him. I said, we don't have a bill. We don't need a bill. Close the damn border. They closed the border. they could do the same thing.
It's happening now. The encounter numbers are extremely low right now. So that's done.
Right now what's happening is people are waiting to see what's going to go with the election. And wait to see what happens after the election, one way or the other. But right now, you take a look at the numbers for the last year. They're horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. And it's also election time, don't forget. I want to put on a little bit of a squeeze. All they do and all they want to do and all they have to do is say, Biden, although I'm not sure, and you take a look at, nobody even knows where he is. He's on the beach someplace, but he could even do it from the beach. Close the border. And the border's closed. They will close the border immediately. That's what I did. But we had great people. We've lost a lot of those great people because they want to be respected, and they weren't respected because of this administration. And the worst person in, far worse than Biden, was Kamala. That's why I call her comrade, because she's a radical left person who really wants to have an open border. She'll never close the border. She'll never drill for oil and gas. She's not going to do it, but she might do it for a couple of months. You know, she stopped, and that's where the inflation came. And then she went back to the Trump policy. What they don't say is that if I were there, I'd be now four times higher than I was at that moment. But the gasoline prices are still very high right now. But they would have been double if they didn't go back to the Trump policy of drilling. But we would have been close to four times higher. We would have been energy dominant. We were energy independent. They would have been energy dominant. But if I want the border closed, if I'm the president, I don't need a bill. I just have to say close the border. And they close the border.
Mr. President, if you get back to the White House, are you confident that you can reach a consensus with Democrats and how to fix the border?
Well, I think right now you look at it, and I'm one that believes that we want to unify our country. But when you have an issue like this where some people, and you know, I don't happen to believe it's the Democrats. I think it's Democrat leaders that want the open borders. I think it's Democrat leaders that say, we don't want voter ID. We talk about elections. I always start, okay, we start with voter ID. We don't want voter ID. I said, no, everything has ID, identification. They said, we don't want any identification. We don't want it. Now, there's only one reason, so we can't even negotiate after that, because they don't want voter ID. So I say to them, why don't you want? Well, we just don't want it. We think it's discriminatory. They have all sorts of excuses. They don't want it because they want to be able to cheat. And we want voter ID. And we want same-day voting. And we want paper ballots. And we want proof of citizenship. Very simple. You know, France did it. France went to 38 million votes, and they did it because they had mail-in ballots, and they were very unsafe, very bad. They had tremendous problems, and they went 2 years ago with an election and worked out incredibly. 10 o'clock in the evening, they had 37 million votes. They were all counted, and there were no problems. That's where our country should go. But the Democrats don't want to go there because it doesn't allow them to cheat. Okay, how about one more?
Mr. President, you have a lot of support from your policies.
Today there was a manhunt going on in this county. Somebody made death threats to you. Did you hear about that before coming?
No.
What are your thoughts coming down here? Some people told me it's dangerous for you to be here.
I've heard it's dangerous, but I also have a job to do. I heard it's very dangerous. I haven't heard about that. They probably want to keep it from me. Thank you for telling me. Let's get out of here right now. No, thank you very much for saying it. But no, and I have great respect for Secret Service, the job they do, including a month and a half ago when they were jumping on top of me with bullets flying right at them. So the mistakes were made, and they're going to learn from the mistakes. But I have great respect. But no, I haven't heard that, but I'm not that surprised. And the reason is because I want to do things that are very bad for the bad guys. So,
Mr. President,
I have heard it's very unsafe to make this trip. There were some people that really didn't want me to make it. Yeah.
You have a lot of support.
Families and children under your Matthew.
Yeah, we'll work on that. You know, they're missing so many children right now under this administration, over 300,000. Many of them are dead. You know that. Many of them are dead. Many of the hostages in Israel are dead. This is why Hamas isn't talking. You know, Hamas doesn't want to negotiate very much because I think they probably don't have very many alive right now, and so they don't want to really get into too much of a negotiation because I think many of those hostages, unfortunately, are dead. But the 300,000 children that are missing, many of them are dead, and many of them are in sex rings and all sorts of things going on. It's a terrible thing. They have done such a bad job in this government in terms of everything, foreign relations, border, crime, jobs. And today you found out that the job numbers are fake on top of everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Mr. President, you have a lot of support for your policies here. Sheriff Daniels is someone that I've spoken with, I've interviewed before.
Yes.
He's very much in support of your policies. But when it comes to something like mass deportation, how would you work with blue states and blue cities that might not be as supportive as some of the folks here?
Let me tell you, they're much more supportive than you think. I've watched New York, Eric Adams. I've watched the body language, a lot of people that are in charge of that. They want to straighten it out. They can't live like this. New York has hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants in their midst. Many of them are very, very hardened criminals. And I've watched the mayors, I've watched governors talking, and it's almost like they're talking because they demand it from Washington. You know? They want it out much more than people would understand. They want them out. They don't want to see their cities overrun. New York is overrun, Chicago's overrun. They're all, and you would be surprised. And the people, including Democrats want to have a secure border. Democrats want to have a secure border. It's the leadership that doesn't. So I think that'll be a very easy situation to solve. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. That's former President Trump at the border. I'm not taking a break, but I do have to catch up here on a live read and remind you that we're going to be at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, coming up on Friday, September 6th. Not taking a break here. Stay with me. Don't go anywhere. I love the beach. You love the beach. We love Cape May. Cape May in the fall is absolutely gorgeous. And you should book your stay right now because they have special midweek packages you can enjoy this fall without breaking the bank. Stay two nights, save 10%. Stay three nights, get 10% off and $55 a night in resort credits. Stay five nights, get 10% off and $65 a night in resort credits that can be used at Hemingway's for food and drink or at the gift shop. The Grand offers guest rooms, suites, and townhouses equipped with kitchenettes, and they have two huge heated pools, one outdoor, one indoor. I'm telling you, the Grand is my happy place. You won't be disappointed. Book directly with them for the best rates. Book your stay today by calling 800-257-8550, 800-257-8550, or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. All right, so a couple other observations for you, and that is that this has been, by far, the most substance-free spectacular I've ever seen before. Democrats have nothing to run on. But you notice what Trump just did there? A press conference. Again, another press conference. He faces the press all the time. J.D. Vance has done, I believe, five or six interviews in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, something like that. And we have not seen Kamala Harris. She wasn't even there last night, you know. She wasn't even in the arena. She was literally back in her hotel room when her running mate was on the stage with his Midwestern doofusness. And I'll get into some of what he said last night in terms of trying to scare everybody into believing that Donald Trump is, you know, this totalitarian nightmare. But I'll get into that. No news of the six, right? No. Okay, good. We're just trying to catch up here on a couple things. I also want to mention, I don't have time to play it, but I talked about this earlier with David Urban. Now, Chris Cuomo, the lesser Cuomo, had a good point. He's still the lesser, but his point was, you know, when you talk about a uniparty, we are strangled by the money reality in politics. Those suites, the suites here at the Democrat National Convention, as you get people like Oprah and the Obamas and everybody else whining about how tough it is out there, those suites started $500,000. $500,000 have a corporate suite here at the Democrat National Committee. And by the way, good luck getting to the suite level here at the United Center without a suite badge. Because you may be able to cross this country illegally, but you're not going to be able to. And by the way, if you notice when I had that guy on earlier in the show, and I said to him, is Senator John Fetterman wrong? You know, member of your party who said that every day the population of Pittsburgh is crossing the border illegally, and he completely tried to, and then I got into fentanyl, and he completely tried to change the subject, but that's the thing. They don't want to have policy-specific conversations. And in some ways, the strategy here that they're – not some ways, what they're doing is try to run out the clock. Make this about likability, personality, likability. The problem for them, though, is Fox News went into the south side of Chicago. They did. They went into the south side of Chicago, and they talked to some black voters there at a Walmart. They were asking them about the policies of Trump, and guess what a lot of these people were telling them? Trump? Pretty damn good. Yeah. They had black voters at the south side of Chicago, out of Walmart, telling Fox News Digital, that Trump can't be controlled. And all these other people can be controlled, but not Donald Trump. It was great. And this is very similar to what you hear when you go to the black barbershops in Atlanta, Chicago. And you talk to these guys there. And these guys tell a much different story about Trump than the story you're hearing at this convention. I'll tell you that. And that's a story of a guy who can't be controlled and a guy who's fighting for small businesses. So as much as you hear the nonsense over and over again about how he's a threat to America and this is about joy and everything else, just keep in mind this is devoid of policy specifics. But the debate, if handled well, is an opportunity for Trump on September 10th to confront her with what she said on this. Do it in a polite, respectful manner, of course, but confront her dead on about what she said on these various issues. And the votes that she's cast as Vice President of the United States of America, which has directly contributed to the inflation problem. The study that Phil Kirpin referenced earlier in the show today. Her two tie-breaking votes, which have spent trillions of dollars directly responsible for about 60% of the inflation that we're dealing with in America, just based on those two tie-breaking votes. So she's absolutely directly part of this, no question about it. All right, big fourth and final hour coming up. I got to get into Shapiro's speech. His royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, made an appearance, and privacy, more censorship, more Biden administration censorship. We'll talk about that as well. But, you know, our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, they're outstanding. I so appreciate their support. Even when we're on the road, we're still broadcasting live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios because our heart is there. And that's the thing about Cherry Hill Volvo. They stand with us every single step of the way. And you can save up to $15,000. That's right, a $15,000 discount off the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 hybrid. Or qualified buyers can lease the incredible C40 for 36 months for lease, or lease that for less than $500 a month. Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. Cherry Hill Volvo is where you should go. Absolutely. They're the only Volvo dealership that stands with us. And saving $15,000 off a brand new Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo, in stock, lease. Oh, man, you can't beat this. It's a car we drive. Beautiful family car, seven-passenger sedan, the safest SUV, safest SUV in that size on the market by far. Judith, Yosef, they will take great care of you because that's what they do at Cherry Hill Volvo. So remember, there's only one Volvo dealership that stands with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. That's Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.